Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today, we're going to be talking about remembering the Holocaust. This is a time in not too long ago history where evil began to shift in such a way in the world that people got in power through elections, mind you, to be able to bring persecution to God's people, to the Jews. And it was a horrific thing. And when I think about it, you know, I think about the times that if you haven't got a chance to go to any of the Holocaust museums in America, in Israel, and throughout the world, you need to take a moment in time to remember this. This reminds us of the evil. What is this? This is a time when this particular ruler, evil ruler named Hitler, came into power, and he had this personal hatred. I mean, this Satan was working right straight through him to be able to come against and persecute the church, persecute the Jews. It was just horrific, the things that have happened. And in that, they set up camps, and we'll be talking about that in a moment, where they actually took human beings and put them in concentration camps, a concentrated amount of people in camps. This really happened. We have to realize this is a real thing that took place. They did it because they were racist. The word we hear, anti-Semitism, really throws off our vocabulary today, because when you hear the word racist, it makes sense to you. But what anti-Semitism means is someone is racist towards the Jewish race. So because of racism, they took the people who were of the race, of the Jewish race, and also Christians and others as well, 10 million to be exact, or right around that number, and put them into camps and did horrific things. I mean, these are mothers and fathers and daughters and sons, and they took them, they put them in the camps, they abused them, they put them into chambers, gas chambers, and they killed them, they burned them, they buried them, and it was just ruthless. This is what's in the heart of evilness. And we have to remember, and what I think about right now, this is a moment, you know, Israel remembers. This week, they're going to be going for an entire week remembering the Holocaust. And right on the Gulf Coast, I know that in Pensacola on MLK Boulevard, that the Jews of the region came together to remember this moment. And we're very thankful for being able to be invited to that. We have to remember what took place. And what Israel does, they just stop. And I love how Israel remembers. We've got to get our memory back. We can't depend on Google to remind us something, or some phone device somebody else to remind us. We need to personally remember history so that it won't repeat itself. And when you go to Israel, you find out that they have tanks still sitting on the side of the road from previous wars, just rusting. They have museums to remember what took place. And once a year, they have a moment of silence. I want you to watch this, a moment of silence where everybody stops to pause to remember what took place at the Holocaust. Take a look at this.
Thank you.
So you're looking at, and it's so important for us, and I hope you joined us in that moment. We have to remember, life's moving so fast. They say information that comes through our life today that our great-great-grandfathers didn't have in their entire lifetime that comes in one day of the information that comes our way. But you know what? Life is still authentic. Life still happens. Evil still happens. And we have to remember. If we don't remember our past, we're doomed to repeat our past. And I love how Israel takes that moment to be able to remember it. And you know, PBS and Frontline, as you can see right here on the screen, right, you see where they took the time, Frontline did, to remember the camps, to remember what took place. And we have a lot of segments available to you on the VFN Torch, but we're going to give you access to be able to how to locate this. And you can watch actual footage of what was taking place at the camps, how, you know, America and other soldiers from around the world came together to free them and conquer the oppressor of the Jewish people and of many people in the earth at that time when Hitler and his Nazis were doing that. And you can see the actual footage of evil. You need to watch footage. You don't need to turn your head and say, I don't want to see that. Listen, if we don't remember it and if we don't look at it, look at evil square in its face, in the memory ways like this with video and books and like VFN TV, we'll be seeing it in our eyes, in our actual life. It'll come our way. If we don't remember history, we're doomed to repeat our history. And it's amazing what's taking place right now. At this very moment in time that we have people rising to power, you know, such as Putin, President Putin over Russia, and he is following the playbook. I mean, it is a playbook, step by step, of what happened during those days when this came to power. And it's when the you know, there wasn't the church, but the people who called themselves the church, that they merged with government and they began unifying and shaking hands with Hitler, saying, you know, we can do this thing. And they had this state church and the other aspect of what was going on. It's like it was crazy things going on. And we have to understand that we as Christians, you know, as our Jewish brothers and sisters, we have to remember what took place, and that no matter what people who call themselves, you know, whatever, if this is their fruit, if this is what they're doing, we say we don't want to be a part of that. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do. And as a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, we're going to actually look at some of the things that Hitler said. And we're also going to hear right from the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, as we are focusing this week on remembering the Holocaust. You know, we're talking about the Holocaust, remembering, you know, history and what took place and the evilness of those who are captive, held captive to do Satan's will. And I think about, you know, when you and I, John, went to the museum in New York.
Manhattan.
And we toured the museum and saw the things that are going on and what happened. And I think one of the biggest things I'm seeing even today, where we're seeing, you know, humanity being treated the same way humanity is being treated during those days. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing people say things like, I don't want to get involved. If I say something, you know, it's going to stir things up. It's going to cost me. And they're detaching themselves from the suffering of people.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that you see today with so many Jewish people and organizations is they connect with people suffering. They have many funds, you know, that they put together and grants and wisdom on how to, you know, stand up for things that are not just.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because they suffered so much injustice, you know, during the time of the Second World War. And when somebody tells you this, when somebody tells you that, you know, you should never go to war, if there wasn't a war, if soldiers wouldn't have said, yes, we're going to go and fight and bring peace, then there would have been nobody at those camps rescuing and stopping this massacre of human beings and a massacre of Jews. It was the soldiers who got together and said, this is unjust. You know, the leaders of the world began to unite and say, you know, this is where World War II began to happen. And it ended. When it ended, they went straight to these camps and began to free the Jews and these Holocaust. And that's what that segment on Frontline's about, is remembering, don't forget about these camps, because this is a reality. When you hear people talk about, you know, camps in your country, and they talk about putting people in them, you can't just go, that'll never happen. And don't just blow it off. Realize that
You know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But guess what? Evil's the same yesterday and day and forever. It doesn't change.
No.
You know, it does. It doesn't. Evil is evil. And it, when you're creating the image and the likeness of God, you know, God hates, Satan hates the image and the likeness of God. And so we have to not partner with evil, mm-mm, which we're seeing today, a repeating of what took place during World War II, almost an identical step,
yes,
you know, where the Prime Minister of Great Britain.
And Neville Chamberlain.
Yeah, he was just naive or just captive to thinking that he could just work this thing out and talk about it. All while along, you had Hitler and all that you had that racism bubbling up, you know, at that same time.
It was the Munich Agreement of 1938 where Neville Chamberlain thought they could appease Hitler because Hitler wanted to take a part of the Sudetenland in Europe. And he signed it over. He said, okay, we'll make the deal in Munich. And he comes back to Great Britain and tells the Czechs, he says, listen, you can defend on your own, but we're not going to help you. And they had an agreement with France, and Russia said, listen, if Great Britain comes in, we'll support, we can stop Hitler, we can stop him. But Great Britain decided not to, and Neville Chamberlain comes back and says,
Great Britain was the big power at that time, you know, involved in Europe.
He comes back to Great Britain and says, we've achieved peace with honor. And Winston Churchill, who was not the prime minister at the time, says, you had the choice between, and I'm paraphrasing, you had the choice between a war and dishonor, and you chose dishonor, and so now you'll have war. And it wasn't a year later till, you know, Hitler invaded Poland,
right,
which many believe that was in the beginning of World War II.
And so you think about this, you know, there was politics going on in this country called Germany.
Yeah.
And there was people that had political ambitions. They had their tours going on, and they were shaking hands and, you know, patting people on the back, and they had their political ideas. And one person who was running for office at that time, his name was Adolf Hitler.
Mm.
And so you look at today. I mean, today we have, you know, people that are saying they want to be leaders of America, for example, and they're beginning to shake hands and tour our nation. You know, that's exactly how it was going on in Germany, because Germany was a democracy at that prior to that point. But there was somebody coming into power that they didn't realize that his intentions were evil towards God, towards the people of God, towards the Jews. And he was going to promise them, I mean, all kinds of things.
Hmm.
I mean, all these things are being promised to the people to get him in. But it was only a plot to be able to get himself into power to be able to do evil. As a matter of fact, you have.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, Rabbi Abraham Cooper wrote an article here for Fox News. He's with the Simon Wiesenthal Center, and amazing. But what he writes is that Hitler, his very first letter that he actually put out, a document that he signed, was in 1919. While he was still in the German army, he was assigned to present an analysis of the Jews. And this is what he came up with. This is a piece of it. This is a direct quote. We have an image for you that you'll see. But I'm going to read you his quote. He says, anti-Semitism stemming from purely emotive reasons, and basically emotive means intense feelings, will always find it.
So it was all it was pushed on emotion.
Absolutely.
It was not factual. It was just emotion.
All emotions, right?
Emotions are fickle.
Yeah.
Feelings are
Don't
fickle.
Ride them.
Do not make any decisions when you're under major stress and somebody's, you know, telling you, no, I'll take care of you.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how the enemy works like that. So it was a very emotional thing, right? Can you say that again? I just want to
Yeah, anti-Semitism stemming from purely emotive, which is emotional, high intense feeling, reasons, will always find its expression in the form of pogroms. And what that word basically means, it means...
Pogroms.
It means an organized massacre of a particular ethnic group, and in this case, the Jews.
So it was racism towards one group of people,
right,
and it was slaughtering.
These emotions intense are going to rise up into a massacre.
So every time that it reminds me of when Jesus was on trial before the people, and the Pharisees got everybody all riled up, and you know, they said, you know, give us Barabbas, give us, and everybody had that emote thing you're talking about. Emotion was going on, and next thing you know, they started calling out, crucify Jesus, crucify him, crucify him. And it's like when somebody starts trying to build your emotions, you know, we have to pay attention to that. when you start seeing a mob mentality where people are just like chanting and they're trying to get a slogan down real small, what they're trying to do is get a momentum going. If you can get a momentum going, people, you'll start rolling down a hill you don't want to go, and it'll go further than you want to go, and it's going to take you to places that you don't ever want to be, and you might not even come out of that place. But I know it's important you think about that, because he was running a political campaign. He understood people have to – this is how God's designed us. You have to have the buy-in from the human race to be able to destroy the human race, because everybody has their own authority. So somebody has to say okay to this. And so that what they're going to do, people try to do, is get your emotions going. That's what was happening right here with Hitler. And the goal of it was to get them going down a hill that would bring slaughter to the Jewish race.
He wrote this while he was a corporal, and they didn't take him seriously. It's the whole thing, you know, take people's threats seriously. He says, but anti-Semitism based on reason must lead to the systematic legal combating and removal of the rights of the Jew.
So an anti-Semitism, the word means racist.
Right.
Racist towards Jewish people. Okay.
Which he alone of the foreigners, this is Hitler's writing, which he alone of the foreigners living among us possesses legislation to make them aliens. Right? He goes on to say, it's the final aim, however, must be the uncompromising removal of the Jews altogether. Both are possible only under a government of national strength, never under a government of national impotence.
That is so important, because when you start hearing words for nationalism, you know, when you start saying, you know, we need to nationalize everything, and then when you start heading in that direction, you're looking at these possible outcomes. But I to really remember this moment, I know we have several other things to talk about the Holocaust, is that it began politically. It began by somebody saying, you know, I want to lead. I want to go out and try if I can get enough people to vote for me. And it began in democracy, and it ended in tyranny.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
And you look at it, just totally taking advantage of the German people. I mean, the country was still trying to recover from World War One. They were trying to survive.
They were in financial crisis, economic crisis. There was a lack of food, lack of these things. And all of a sudden, that's when evil begins to rise up. And you think about how many people got converted to, you know, Islam in prison, you know, in a impoverished situation where people come in and say, you know what, you know, the nation of Islam, you know, the things that have happened, they go right there to that one crisis point and they go, I can help you.
Yeah.
Be careful, you know, and verify. You got to catch our next program too, because we're going to be having some very important statements from, you know, Miles Monroe about, you know, the governance has a responsibility, how they govern. And we have a responsibility to hold government to those those responsibilities, instead of just going like whatever they're leading. But
well, this is a government that was promising its citizens things. And in a book called Hitler's Beneficiaries, one of the things that the author writes about is that the Nazis were taking and confiscating items and furniture and possessions of the Jews.
Everything the Jews had.
Everything. And they were giving them to German citizens. And they were saying,
so people were benefiting off someone else's loss.
Yeah.
In other words, I was getting a job that somebody took from them. Mm-hmm. That would be like, oh, hush, hush, we're getting jobs out of this.
It's okay. It's okay. And they bought into it.
Hey, we're getting a house out of this.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we're getting, this is what I think, believe Isaiah or Psalms talks about. He says, I see the things of the widow in your house. I see how you got that stuff. I mean, and this, Germany's not unique. America has some history in that too, and things that have happened. But just because we gain something, be very, very careful. You got to ask the question, but where did it come from? You know, and how many people, when they see a blue light special, they line up. It's like, I don't know what it is. What line are you in? I don't know, but I hear they're giving something free at the top. I was like, who?
And no, God didn't bless you. If that was ill-gotten gain, that wasn't a blessing.
And that's what it's called. It's called ill-gotten gain.
That's ill-gotten gain. That was taken, you know. It wasn't supposed to be taken.
So, you know, we're remembering the Holocaust during the time when, you know, evil leadership got into power. And when Hitler got to that place and he got voted in, supposedly by one vote, when he got his place as chancellor or whatever, he had one night where he eliminated all of his political. So you think, well, we got so-and-so there. There's somebody else there. We got some sane people around here. They're not going to let Hitler do what he or she's wanting to do. But in the context of that, in one night, he went and killed hundreds, at least 100 of the opposition. In one night, the people that they were depending on that would have been that kind of voice of sanity with something goes wild, It's called Night of Long Knives. And he went and just went through the entire nation and began to kill them all. And overnight, just think about this. Think about it. Overnight, everybody that you think is a sane voice, in one night, they just disappear, and all you have is insanity left. Mm. And you think about that. And so our trust and our faith should be in God, the God yes. of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not in political parties, not in political schemes. You know, not, our confidence is not in a man's ability to rule. Our confidence is in God's ability to rule a man. That is our confidence. When we get back from this break, you know, I want you to hear, you know, Bibi, Prime Minister mm-hmm. Benjamin Netanyahu, and we also have a particular book called Triumphing Over the Holocaust. We are remembering the Holocaust. You know, we want to join with our Jewish brothers and sisters and with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yes. and all of Israel. Yes. And that we want to remember and stand with Israel, but also stand with the Jewish people across the world and say, never again.
Never again.
You know, never again. And one of the things to remember, what happened prior to this taking place? What happened before Hitler got in power? You know, people were just seduced by everyday life mm-hmm. and things were going good and... you don't have whatever. It's craziness on the news. I heard, did you see those commercials come on that?
Yeah.
This you know, wasn't commercials, obviously, but just you know, these political flyers or whatever. Nobody paid attention to what was going on. And I think, really, there's so many people today that have their, you know, proverbial head buried in the sand of it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it matters. When we don't pay attention, it yeah. matters. And somebody says, well, I don't want to stir up trouble. I don't want people to focus on me. It's like, they are focusing on humanity. Mm-hmm. We have to participate. Freedom requires participation. America's whole concept of its freedom was it's one nation under God that we're held accountable to, and we all have to participate. If we don't participate in this republic, you know, called America, we won't have America. And so when I think about this, you know, in that we got to say, you know, what are we doing as a nation during this time? Because we're seeing a repeated pattern in our face right now. You know, first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people. What does that mean? First the Jews, then the Christians. You hear me say over and over again, you know, you remember JJ, you know, the Jews and Jesus. Remember that every plot boils down to, how is the church and how are the Jews going to be persecuted
That's right.
in the context of that? And we got to stand up for, you know, I got a chance to watch a little small segment. We don't have a lot of time on the Blaze television and watch how, you know, Christians are financing now going into Poland and different areas to be able to because they when they came after the Jews, they took the Torah, they took all the different belongings and stuff, and they made a drum out of the Torah, literally a drum. So when they pulled this drum cover off, they looked on the inside of it, it was actually a Torah.
Wow.
You know, and that's how much Satan hates God and hates anything to do with God. And we need to be more honorable in how we treat God's folks and how we treat Scripture and how we treat what God says. And it makes me think about what you're going to show us.
Yeah. You know, we've been talking about the Holocaust a lot here on our program, and just so we can get an idea of some of the things that really actually had occurred. I mean, so many times we can miss the big picture. And we want you to see Elie Wiesel. Elie Wiesel is a survivor from the Holocaust. I believe he was 16 years old. In fact, we have some images of the Holocaust and what it was like to be in a concentration camp. And you may see them in the program, and you actually have that related for you in the torch so you can look in more detail.
Up, if you could put those up, I'd like this. Yeah. This is how they treated folks. This is where they took people from their, you know, this doctor and this lawyer and this carpenter who happened to be of a certain race, the Jewish race, and took them and put them in this camp. You can see right there. This is it's horrific, you know, what was taking place during that time. And this same evil exists. This same, when you're seeing children beheaded in the Middle East and you're hearing us talk about on the couple of programs ago, you got to get it, where, you know, God's telling us prophetically this kind of evil is headed towards America as well. And it's like it exists. Evil exists.
The next picture you'll see is actually soldiers standing outside of Auschwitz smiling. Look at these faces in the midst of evil. In the
and
midst
Auschwitz
of,
is one of those camps. It's
yes,
the name
in Poland.
Of one of those camps.
Yes, concentration camps. And you can see they're smiling like nothing. Mm-hmm. Like this is not happy. This is horrible. Nothing but total deception and evil that took place during that time. Well, Elie Wiesel is a survivor. He's a Nobel Prize winner.
He survived
winner.
That.
Yes. Yes.
Amazing.
Amazing.
He survived that.
He's authored over 50 books, and he's a champion of the Jews. Everywhere that there's persecution, him and his wife try to board a plane to go there, and someone asked them,
it would have been nice if our president would have showed up with all the leaders in France, because that's everybody was coming together over that persecution that took place.
The only major country superpower that was not there.
We have got to wake up.
Yeah. I want you to watch Elie, because he says, I go to these places because I want to stand. Someone says, what, to say something? He goes, no, to stand, to be there, to be present, to stand with our suffering. But I want you to hear what he told five presidents, and he asked them a very important question, and I want you to hear it from Elie himself. Watch this.
We have America today. In my time, we didn't have America. Afterward, the Americans could have helped us much more. Whenever I would come to the White House, I used to come at times, I would ask the president, whoever it was, I asked five presidents a question. In 1944, what were you doing? Did you have good breakfast? What did you do? You knew it already. Because we in Hungary learned about it only in 1944, in April. April 1944. The entire world already knew about Auschwitz. We'd never heard the name Auschwitz. And Auschwitz from Siget, my town, was maybe 100 kilometers away. We never heard about it. 1944, April. Why weren't we warned? The radio, we listened to the radio, Radio London, and so forth. If we had the radio, but the Jews of Hungary, don't go to the railway station. Just like that. Don't go to the railway station. Well, maybe 50% would not go. Maybe 20% would not go. My town was surrounded by mountains. We could have gone to the mountains. There were some Christian families that would have taken us in. They were good Christians, good people. We never heard the name Auschwitz and Siget until we came there. How is it possible in 1944? And when I ask these questions, nobody has the answer.
Those questions are so important, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. You know, yeah. VFN TV, we're standing up for God and country in that order, and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were just 100 kilometers away and didn't even know that this huge destruction. And it makes you wonder today, you know, how close are we today to suffering?
Wow.
I mean, think about it. And we don't want to we don't have time to venture there. Sure. But the truth is, we're really close to a lot of suffering. I mean, you go to Haiti, you know, a few miles away. You go to Cuba, you know, a few miles. We're partnering with people who are persecuting people. Our government is the same thing that's happening.
Exactly.
Is happening.
Exactly.
America, if you read the New York Times talks about, on the headlines during those days, they were thinking that communism was a good idea, and it was the beginning of the whole concept before it walked its way out and ended up in camps. And then our soldiers didn't even really know until they got in there and began to see America. We didn't know, but we know now. You know, we know now. And, you know, you have to be informed to be able to tell someone. And that's why, you know, we own thousands and thousands of programs that we've done on Israel and understanding, you know, the paradigm of this, the apple of God's eye, that the calendar of God, the chosen land of God, the place where Yahshua, Jesus, is going to return, his feet's going to set on the Mount of Olives. It's amazing. And to think about it, it's like, but does the church even talk about it? Do we even think about it? Do we even think about Israel? Do we think about that they're surrounded on every side right now? From people who the only one that I hear is calling out for a response is the President Sisi of Egypt, is telling Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, call out to your God and bomb them before they bomb you. Mm. And it's like, my goodness, and we're not even...
We're not saying that.
Right, and it's like, my goodness, dear Lord, we pray for the protection of Israel. When we get back from this break, we have this particular segment we're going to be able to talk about, and you're going to see, they wrote this book called Triumphing Over the Holocaust, and how even there's an app that you can download to be able to remember, and we're going to have a talk about, John and I had a chance to go through the Holocaust Museum in in New York, and also what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just said recently at the museum in Israel. Now, we're talking about remembering the Holocaust. Take time to remember epicenters, you know, changing points. Remember the bad history and the good history. And as we saw in the beginning of our program, you know, everything just stops in Israel to be able to have that moment of silence. They spent a week, almost all the programming on television in Israel during this time is, you know, focused on the Holocaust. And we should be focusing on, as Christians, you know, we need to be focusing, you know, on this, because this is the reality when evil gets in power. And as a matter of fact, I think, you know, didn't Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just had a speech?
He did at Yad Vashem Museum in Israel on Holocaust Remembrance Day. And we're going to make this whole transcript available for you on the Torch. But I want just to read a couple of things that he said in his speech. He said, leaders of modern countries realize that it was propitious time to establish a new world order based on defending liberty, eradicating evil, and opposing oppression. They articulated the most important lesson of World War II: democracies must not turn a blind eye to the aspirations of tyrannous regimes to expand. A conciliatory attitude toward these regimes only increases their propensity for aggression, and if such aggression is not stopped in time, humanity may not find itself will find itself in a much bloodier battle. He went on to say that in years before World War II, the free world would try to appease the Nazi regime to gain its trust, to curry its favor through gestures. These were those who warned that this concessionary policy would only whet Hitler's appetite. But these warnings were ignored due to the natural human desire for calm at all costs, and indeed the price was exacted not long after. It was too heavy to bear. 6 million of our people were slaughtered in the Holocaust, and millions of others were killed in this terrible inferno.
Amazing. That is just horrific, the things that took place. And I just thank God for a leader who stands up and just speaks.
Yeah.
Speaks the reality of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And he's doing this at the Museum of Remembrance in Israel.
Yad Vashem,
Yad Vashem.
Amazing.
And it reminds me of when you and I were in Manhattan in New York, and we were going to the museum there.
The Holocaust.
It takes probably to really go through it maybe a good 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much tragedy, so much history, so many things to know and to remember and to connect to the individual. It's so important to that every life matters.
Mm-hmm.
And to think about this particular lady and her journey, this man and this child, and to connect. If we don't connect, all of a sudden life becomes meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that. I encourage you, if you haven't had a chance yet to go, there's one in Washington, D.C., there's one in New York, there's one in Germany, there's one in
Israel.
There's all around.
Mm-hmm.
But take the chance. And you can even go online, I believe.
Yes.
And we'll make sure those are available
to you. Yes.
On the VFN Torch. But I'm thinking about, you know, right now, this particular one lady that survived the Holocaust, and she wrote a book about it. Mm-hmm. And to remember, you know, what happened as she was a little girl, and she saw her friends, you know, taken away from her, but she survived it. As a matter of fact, watch this. This is amazing.
Sisters Rena and Danka Kornreich survived almost all of World War II together in Nazi death camps. In fact, Rena was on the first trainload of women sent to Auschwitz, fooled into thinking it was just a short-term work camp.
297 teenagers are on the first transport. 50 are dead in the first 6 months.
Rena's Promise documents how the sisters kept each other alive and helped many others. A key part of their survival? Refusing to dwell on the reality of the daily gassings and killings going on all around them.
She does see the SS pour the Zyklon B into the gas chamber, and she's on a work detail where she can see that. She never goes on that work detail again. She realizes that to see that is her spirit to die.
Rena rose above it all after the war by putting Hitler and the Nazis behind her. She wholeheartedly embraced life and gave it, like to her only daughter, Sylvia.
Apparently, when I was born, my mother was just elated. And, you know, we've heard stories that she, you know, felt like this is the revenge on Hitler.
The Nazis did at one point steal Rena's faith as she watched them march hundreds of little orphans into the gas chambers.
About 500 children, and they're holding teddy bears, and she prays.
As she begged God to stop the horror, a Nazi guard got right into her face.
SS Hasse came up to her, spit in her face, and said, "Where is your God now?" And that's the moment when Rena lost her faith in God.
She also witnessed the Nazis kill off beautiful Jewish women, including her friend Adela Gross.
They selected 2,000 healthy, young, beautiful women for the gas. Adela was healthy. She's redhead, gorgeous young woman. And Rena watched her go to the gas.
It took decades, but Rena regained her faith as she saw thousands inspired by her book.
And how the story is helping them to believe in survival, to believe in love, to believe in the strength of the human spirit. And she said, "There's only so much room in my heart, so I don't hate. I love. To hate is to let Hitler win."
Rena and Donka ended up in America and remained close for some 50 years before Rena passed away in 2006. Donka died 6 years later, but their story is now chronicled forever.
When you hear 6 million Jews and 10 million people total, that's such a phenomenal figure that it's very hard to put that into the reality of what happened there. And by having all the individuals that we can now tell stories about, including my mother and my aunt, that makes it real.
These stories and those of other survivors keep this tragic part of history alive in the hope that it will never be repeated. New generations can better learn about the Holocaust through a new app produced by these men called Sacred Ground. Recording studio owner John Keel says the app transports users to Berlin's Holocaust Memorial.
And there are these little stones that you start walking through, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger until you're walking through these tunnels. And the message being is that this is how this kind of evil overtakes us. It grows until we're trapped.
We've all seen those horrifying images from the Holocaust, the skin and bones bodies stacked high like cordwood. What's important to remember is that each one of those bodies represents a life lived fully and richly before the Holocaust.
It needs to be about the lives that they led and remembering that they were just like me and just like you until someone declared that they were not. And it's not a declaration that can be made.
You can also hear Baltimore Rabbi Moshe Dov Shawali talk about his own family's horror.
My name Moshe Dov is after my mother's dad, Moshe, who was murdered in the Ukraine in front of her when she was 16 and he was 46.
He said the Holocaust, or Shoah, made him feel like a victim, and he wanted to rise above that by rituals that would consecrate the millions of lives snuffed out. Cantor Emmanuel Perlman hopes the ritual prayers and music he and his co-producers put on this app will allow millions to memorialize those survivors and victims on every Holocaust Remembrance Day.
There had never, ever been, to my knowledge, any special prayers that were composed, written for the Holocaust.
Perlman grabbed up his first grandchild, Abner Judah, to point out how he hopes this app will serve the future.
He'll be able to understand history in the way in which we see history from generation to generation.
Then this proud new grandpa just rejoiced at this bundle of joy in his arms. It is important to remember the Holocaust, but also to have an antidote to it. Living fully, giving life, celebrating all it has to offer. Paul Strand, CBN News, reporting from Baltimore.
So that's amazing how they stuck together, and she wrote about it everywhere she went. It makes me think about, you know, he said he flies everywhere to stand, right?
Yeah. Elie Wiesel.
Yeah, we need to stand ourselves. And once you've done everything to do to stand, you know, Paul was writing to the Church of Ephesus about that. But I had a chance to download that app. Did you download the app?
Yes, I did.
And looks like Richard Dreyfuss was part of that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we have an image right there for you. We'll make sure we can relate it on the torch where you can download the app for yourself.
Yeah, and just hearing the him sing those particular lyrics, and of course we have to look them up in English. And but just, it's just so important to understand. And by the way, it, you know, when you hear Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stand up and he says, "We're not going to be silent anymore. We're going to stand.
Never
and
again.
If we, and if we have to stand alone, we're going to stand." That's what he's talking about. He's talking about this history, the Holocaust. He's like, "We're not going to do that. We're not going to go there again. That's not going to happen again." And somebody says, "Well, how could such a small nation say that with so many people against it?" Because God is for Israel. The creator of the universe, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is for Israel, and he will protect Israel. And you'll see a great, great, massive things happening in the not-too-near future, how God is going to move on behalf of Israel. And if you're not standing with Israel, you're standing on the wrong side. I'm telling you. I don't know where you're listening to us or watching us in the world right now. If you're not standing with Israel, you're standing on the wrong side. This is what God says. He says, "I'll bless those who bless Israel, and I'll curse those who curse Israel." That's just the simple thing. This is his foreign policy. You know, if we want a great domestic functioning inside of America, then we got to repent and get our leadership again to stand in support of Israel. And no matter what, stand in support. As a matter of fact, I just want to pray today as we close. I want to pray with you, and let's just stand. Y'all could join us. Yeah. Just want to be able to pray for Israel and pray to remember the Holocaust. Father God, we just pray for our Jewish brothers and sisters today. Father God, yes. We pray for protection over Israel. We pray for all of our Jewish friends in America and throughout the world, God, that you would protect them, God. Lord, and we just ask you and declare never again would this happen, Lord God, that you would move on behalf of Israel and move on behalf of those, Father God, that have been so severely broken and hurt because of this history, God, and restore unto them, Father God. And we pray, Lord, for salvation. We pray for deliverance, Father God. And we pray, God, that just like everyone is saying, they're standing for Israel, never again, in Jesus' name.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.